This is Mame Warren. Today is the 29th of January, 1997, and I'm in Coral Gables, Florida, with Martin Spector. Now, do you go by the name Martin or Mike?
My nickname is Mike.
How'd you get a nickname of Mike?
I just don't know. Now, my son is named Michael, and he's not Junior. He's not, he's really Michael. I have two nicknames. One is Mike, and the other is Speck.
Well, when you sent me that article and it said you were called Mike, yeah. But it didn't say why you were called Mike. Well, I guess you didn't know why you were called
Mike. I just don't know.
So, you grew up in Stanton.
Yeah.
How did you decide to go to Washington and Lee?
Well, a friend of mine, a close friend of mine, Robert Fulweiler, went there the year before I did. And he just came back and I just wanted to go to Washington Lee. I didn't even try to fly anywhere else. That was it.
What did you know about Washington and Lee that attracted you?
Nothing. I really knew nothing about it. And in those days, I think I was probably the third or fourth person who had gone to college. And Stanton in those days was a small town, about less than 10,000. And so Bob Fulweiler said, why don't you come up and look it over, you know? So I went up and looked it over. I play a violin, or used to play a violin, and Bob Fulweiler we had an orchestra while we were in high school, and Washington Lee had a glee club called the Troubadours, and they put on shows. So naturally, that helped to attract me there. But even if it hadn't been the Troubadours, I still would have gone to Washington Lee.
Can you remember the first time you went on campus, what you thought of it?
I just thought it was gorgeous. It was terrific. And I went over and saw the recumbent statue of Lee. And you know, everywhere as you walked, everybody said, hi, gentlemen, to you. It was so friendly, and it was just fine.
Did they actually say hi, gentlemen?
Yep,
then?
They did.
That's what I've read, but I'd never heard that.
Yep.
Now, today we all just say hi.
Right. They say hi, gentlemen.
Really?
The gentlemen seem to be part of the hi.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's very interesting. So did you adapt that right away?
Oh, sure. And my first year, when I was a freshman there, I took my five subjects, whatever, you know, with the curriculum and so forth and so on. And I decided that my family lived in Stanton. My father had a small department store there, and we were just very moderately fixed financially. So I thought it was a waste of time to be there 4 years. So I went over to the University of Virginia and took a summer course there. And then when I came back to Washington Lee, I took seven courses. They let me take them because I had a B average. And I finished in 3 years.
I saw that in the yearbook.
And that was the reason why. I just thought I'd save my folks money and I get out faster, you know.
Aren't you clever?
No, it's not that. It was wasn't clever, frankly. I should have studied and gotten on the honor roll and everything, but I was enjoying it up there. And I was in the not only in the Troubadours, but I also was in the band. They had a school band, and in those days football was quite a big thing, you know, and athletics. So that was my extracurricular activity. It was either in Troubadours or with the band.
Now, did you act in Troubadours?
No, I played the violin in the orchestra.
There was an orchestra with the Troubadours?
Oh, sure.
Wow, yeah. We don't have that anymore.
Well,
that's exciting.
And they we used to put on shows. It was real good.
Now, somebody who was involved in the Troubadours, who I'm real interested in, was Miss Annie Jo White.
Right.
Did you know her?
I knew her, but just the name, you know, just like Cy Twombly and any of these older names and everything. But I never had any particular contact with her, but I knew the name.
But was she still involved with the Troubadours by the time you got there?
I really don't remember.
Yeah, she was involved in the founding, but yeah. I think probably she was close to retirement.
I don't recall her being active in it.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, I don't even know who was the director and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And where did you put on the plays back then?
What?
Where did you put on the plays back then?
You want to know? I don't recall.
I'm trying to figure out where it would have been back then.
Was the Doremus Gym Gymnasium in existence then?
Maybe it was
there. No, trying to think. That was the only... Of course, that's where they had the basketball games.
And I know
the
there
fancy
was...
dress.
There used to be some kind of small auditorium in Washington Hall that's gone now.
Yeah.
But I wondered if maybe it was there.
No. You know, I'm sorry, I can't tell you.
That's the kind of thing that slips through the cracks in the yearbook, because everybody knows where they were doing it, so they don't bother to write it down.
Right.
So you were there during the Roaring Twenties.
Yep.
Was it roaring in Lexington?
Yeah, we did a lot of drinking. Moonshine whiskey.
Will you tell me about that?
Well, I tell you, luckily we survived it. But and it just seemed to be the thing to do. You either went out of town on weekends, either went to Lynchburg, you know, or to Charlottesville or Stanton. It was... You know, as I look back on it, there isn't anything, with the exception of the Troubadours and the and playing in the band and rehearsing and so forth, that stands out in my mind of anything. It was just somehow or other, it was just such a friendly place where all seemed to be, I don't know, it was just real good. And my memories are just very fond of. Teachers were great. And fancy dress, of course, was a big thing then, you know.
Oh, I want to talk about that, too. But I want to find out more about this bootleg. Was there really bathtub gin?
Wasn't gin. We drank mostly whiskey. We'd go out in the mountains, though. These farmers would come and bring it in. We'd buy it in half-gallon jugs or gallon jugs.
And
it was
corn
whiskey.
And there were stills out in Rockridge County?
Yeah, sure.
Did you ever go out? Did you ever go get it?
Sure, I went out a few times. I remember one time we went to this place, and this little kid was the son of the farmer. I think the farmer, the man who made the whiskey, and he said, "We said, well, how do we know if this whiskey's any good?" He said, "Oh, it's real good. We just made it yesterday."
Now, did you have a car? How did you get out to get it?
No, I didn't have a car. A couple of boys had cars. There weren't many cars,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't have one. And, you know, to go back to Stanton, I used to just hop rides, stand on the car, stand on down at the end there, and just someone pick you up, take you maybe halfway, and then...
Was hitchhiking popular then?
Oh, yes, very good.
That's how a lot of people got around?
Sure. I wouldn't anymore think of picking up a hitchhiker now than anything, but in those days, that's the way it was. And Stanton is only 35 miles from
mm-hmm.
Lexington, so it wasn't much.
That wasn't too far to go at all. So, you mentioned fancy dress.
Yeah.
How'd you get a date for fancy dress when there weren't any women around in Lexington?
Well, we had an orchestra in Stanton called the Zuzus, who was named after the Zuzu ginger crackers. And we played as far north as Warrenton, and we played at the caverns and so forth and so on. And in my fraternity, I was ZBT. There are a lot of boys from up north and so forth. They had a lot of either New York or Pennsylvania and so forth and so on. And those were the girls that we knew. I mean, the girl I used to date went to John Hopkins. What's the other school?
In Baltimore?
Yeah.
Well, there's Johns Hopkins and University of Maryland.
No.
Goucher?
Goucher.
Uh-huh. That's the women's college.
Yeah. Goucher was the gal that I dated.
Uh-huh.
And I had her down for a couple of the parties.
And how would she get there? That's a long way.
I came by train. Oh, sure.
So can you remember fancy dress? What was it like?
That was terrific.
Tell me about it.
Well, it had Jan Garber was played there, and I forgot whether the orchestra from North Carolina, there were two. It wasn't Kay Kaiser, Hal Kemp. I don't know whether it was Hal Kemp or Kay Kaiser, but I remember distinctly that Jan Garber played there. And it was just a good time. I wish I could be more interesting, but I really, you know, I don't want to make up anything.
No, I don't want you making it up, but I like a good story.
Yeah, well.
A good story is a good story.
It really was an uneventful 3 years. I never got in trouble. I was never suspended. I was, it was just, I liked my teachers, you know.
Were there any teachers that you particularly remember?
Yeah, well, the one I remembered mostly was Dr. Fair, because I had took all his German. I took 3 years in German with him. He was just a wonderful gentleman. Dr. Easter was the French teacher, and Dr. Latour was the Spanish teacher. Languages were very easy for me. The only thing I had problems was with math. Mm-hmm. I mean, with not algebra, but calculus and that stuff. It was tough on me. And the dean we had, what was it, geology?
Mm-hmm.
I had an academic career, you know what I mean? It was mostly, I didn't know what I was going to, I had no thoughts or ideas what I was going to do after I got out of college. I mean, I was 17 years old when I went to Washington Lee, and I was 20. I was the youngest one in the class, because your age is calculated from your last birthday, see? And finals was like the 1st of June, so I was really 19 when I graduated.
Oh, yeah, my God.
I'd be 20 if you, the 18th of June. And I remember my mother and dad were up there, and one guy on each, we were standing there, one was 6'4" and the other one was 6'3", and here I'm 5'7", you know. And I not only was the youngest, but the smallest. My mother said I looked like a baby up there.
But I bet she was proud of you.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So you're talking about professors that I don't, other than Rupert Latour.
Yeah, well, he just died recently, didn't
he?
Yes,
he did, and I remember him very well.
Yeah.
I remember him. I'm very sorry I never got to interview him.
Yeah.
I think that would have been most
He was the founder, I think, of ODK.
He was in the group who came up with the idea originally.
Yeah. He had a course in sociology, and it was just a breeze for me. And I remember, you know, the way they used to work, the professor would come in, give you the paper, then he walked out. He gave you the questions. And so you had from 9 until 2 o'clock, you had 5 hours. And I must have written 30 pages, and I just knew that thing just was cold. So it was sessions. So I was walking down the main street. What's the main street in Lexington?
Main Street.
Main Street. And I see Dr. Latour, and I was with this girl, and I was under the, I was pretty high, I'd had a few drinks. I said, "Hi, Dr. Latour." He says, "Hi, Specter, how are you?" I said, did you get my paper? Have you signed, have you graded my paper?" He said, "Yeah." I said, did I get 100 on that?" He said, "What makes you think you should get 100? I said, "I knew that baby cold." He says, "Well, I gave you 99. He says, "I never give 100. So this gal I was with, she thought I was brilliant. That was the only one that I got an A, and all the rest were B's.
Well, that was good timing to run into him on that time. Was he a good teacher?
Yeah, he was excellent. They were all good teachers. I tell you, that, you know, sometimes you go, I hear from, you know, not Mike in particular, but I've got a couple of grandchildren. They don't like this teacher. I liked every one of my teachers. I thought they were just absolutely excellent. So I just never had any unpleasant incidents, never had anything that was other than just fun and joyful and so forth. So you can see that why I feel the way I do. It was just great.
It seems to be a pretty special place. One of the things I think that makes it unusual is this honor tradition, the honor system.
Oh, sure.
Was that new to you when you got there, the idea of an honor system?
Well, I'd never heard of the honor system, but it just so happens that my mother, who was the great, my dad was busy trying to make a living, she always insisted that you tell the truth. She said, I remember she said, "A lie, you have to remember what you said. You tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said." So I was brought up to tell the truth. And then, of course, at Washington, they said, "You don't lie, cheat, or steal." Well, there was never any occasion that I was even tempted to cheat on a test or I don't know. And it's the same way, I'll tell you, we've run our business for 48 years. I mean, we treat our customers and we have, I'm telling you, the business is terrible now. I mean, so much competition and they're falling like flies. I mean, our competitors and so forth and so on. But we have a good name. And that's more important to me than wealth and so forth. And I never was particularly interested in becoming a rich man or anything like that because I've seen too many people who were rich and they spent their money on doctors and psychiatrists and everything else. And here I am, I'll be 92 in June. The Lord's been good to me. I've been married to the same gal for 50, March 1st will be 54 years. And I have four children and fortunately they're all in good shape. I mean, healthy and so forth. And you know, every week I pick up a paper, somebody else I know has passed on and so forth. But it doesn't depress me. I just keep on telling me how lucky I am and that I'm going to join the 100 Club. I want to make it to 100 at least.
Willard Scott's waiting for you.
Yeah, I want him. So, but I just think that Washington Lee has a, it's just a unique place. When I finished Washington Lee, I didn't have a profession. You know, I just had an AP. So my father had a small business, and I'd worked around in the store all the years, you know. That wasn't for me. So my mother says, "Well, you got to be either a lawyer. You got to have a profession, either a lawyer or a doctor." Of course, now they just say accountant also. So I said, "Okay, I'll take law." So I went to the University of Virginia. And I went over there and spent 3 years at University of Charlottesville. Had excellent teachers too there. It was fine. But my loyalty, was, my first love was Washington Lee. So I never participated in anything over there except that I played in an orchestra and played for dances and so forth. But I think once, I don't have to tell you, you've talked to a lot of alumni, something about Washington that you can't describe. It's just it's an intangible thing. It's just a love and desire, and I mean, I've tried in my modest way to contribute every year to the university, and I feel that I'm helping others to come along and so forth, and I think that's what life is all about.
I wish we could really understand what it is that makes us all feel the way we do about Washington and Lee.
Well, you have the tradition of George Washington and General Robert Lee, who I think is probably the greatest man that ever lived in America. I've read everything about Robert E. Lee, and you know, you want to emulate him, or you feel he's your foster father, or I don't know. It's just it's just wonderful. You see, such a fine gentleman.
Was there a sense of him as a presence?
I think
there
was.
Were people really aware?
I think somehow or other, unconsciously, he was there.
I often wonder if it's because of that statue there that we all see so frequently.
I just don't know. And you know, the campus is so pretty. It's such a beautiful campus. And it sounds silly, but I don't remember a single unpleasant incident the whole 3 years I was there. I enjoyed every day I was there.
I believe you. I enjoy every day I'm there. I understand. Now, you had some pretty interesting classmates who, at least in terms of Washington and Lee, they went on to be very interesting people. Were you by any chance friends with Ollinger Crenshaw? Did you know him?
Sure. Ollie was in my class. In other words, Ollie became history teacher there.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned out to be a favorite of my son Michael's. And of course, when Mike came there, Ollie said, "Are you any hint to me?" And Mike Spanish said, "It's my dad." So I would see Ollie, you know, every now and then when I went up there to not reunions, but just to go up there for Michael. And I just thought he was a great guy.
Well, I was just tickled when I saw that he was your classmate, because
yes.
I'm curious what he was like as a student.
He was, you know, he didn't impress me as being a brilliant student. He's just another nice, another good guy. I remember I don't even remember what classes we had together, you know. Mm-hmm. But I remember he's a tall guy, you know, and he was, he was full of fun, too. He was. Do you know Gassaway? Is he
No.
still alive? He lives in Lakeland. He's my class, too.
I don't know that name.
Yeah, Bruce Gassaway.
No, tell me about him.
Well, he became a minister.
Uh-huh.
And I think he became like bishop?
A bishop?
Or, you know,
uh-huh.
Up there. And he's been living in Lakeland for a number of years. I have a couple of stores up there, but I just don't get up there very often. But I saw him at the 50th reunion in 75.
Uh-huh.
And then one time I was over in Tampa. I happened to be over there on a trip, and not a reunion, but they had one of these meetings.
Uh-huh.
And who was the president before Wilson? John Wilson.
Bob Huntley.
No, not after Huntley.
John Wilson followed Huntley.
He did?
And now we have John Elrod.
Yeah, I haven't met Elrod.
Uh-huh.
Well, then it must have been Wilson. So anyhow, he was over there, and I had a real good time. I think I called Tom Tushton.
Tom Tushton, uh-huh. I went to see him.
Yeah, and I said, "Tom, can I come over?" I said, "I'm going to Tampa." And he said, "Sure."
He said, "In fact, I'm supposed to give you greetings from him." He was very happy to hear I was coming to see you. I'd forgotten that I was supposed to tell you.
He's a nice person.
And another person from your class who distinguished himself was John Minor White. Did you know him? He became a federal judge.
Wisdom.
I'm sorry, John.
Wisdom.
I was thinking that, yes, you're right.
Wisdom.
Yes.
Yeah, no, he became a judge. I really don't remember him very much. Mm-hmm. Was he 25 academic or was he 25 law?
Academic.
He was?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was in your class.
He's from New Orleans, so.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I knew he became a judge. Uh-huh. And very well known. I mean, he had some big cases.
Very.
So forth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Is he still alive? I believe he is.
I believe he is.
I think so.
In fact, I'm going to go to New Orleans in a few months for a conference, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to hook up with him while I'm there.
Yeah, I think he's retired, but I think I haven't heard that he died.
No, I think he's still with us. I think he's still with us. But you know, the thing that I was most intrigued by when I looked at your yearbook was to see that Mr. Earl Mattingly was a student, but that he was also
the
treasurer.
He
was the registrar while he was a student.
Yeah, well,
how can you do that?
I don't know. I think what happened was he just wanted to get his degree. He probably had interrupted or something. I don't know. But I remember that he was there going to school at the same time he was the registrar.
I thought that was fascinating. I couldn't understand how a student can be in charge of everybody else's grades.
But he was, you know, probably in his 30s. I mean, he wasn't a youngster.
Well, he looked, from his picture, he looked older than
the rest
of you. So he was.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know him very well?
Well, I know him just like I'd know anybody else, sure.
Uh-huh. So who all was in CBT? Tell me about your fraternity. What was that like?
Gosh, I can't even remember. Eddie Felsenstein was from Memphis, and a fellow named Goodman was from Memphis. Louis Joel was from Jacksonville. Sam Buckholz was from Jacksonville. Several of them whose name I've forgotten were from New York and so forth and so on, up north. And there was a boy who was from, I can't think of his name now, he was from Chicago. And we had quite a cosmopolitan group. There weren't many of, I think there were only eight when there was four of us. Bernie Wagner, myself, Charlie Schloss, and Eddie Felsenstein. I think there were about eight or ten in the fraternity when we were take it in, so it was four of us.
So was your fraternity real important to you?
Not particularly. The first year, of course, I stayed in the dormitories, but the next 2 years, I lived at the fraternity house. And it was fine. I got along great.
Is that where the parties happened?
Yeah, we'd have parties there. Now I'm thinking of Eddie Matz. He was from Louisville, Kentucky. You know, now I'm thinking names I haven't thought of in 50, 60 years.
You're doing great.
No, I'm not.
So where was the ZBT house?
The ZBT house was across the street from the Phi Psi house. It was on Main Street.
Main Street, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And I remember that John Hammond, who married Mary Martin, was a Phi Psi. He lived right across the street. He's dead now. He died.
Uh-huh. The famous Mary Martin?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I'm telling you, Washington and Lee men are everywhere.
Yeah.
They are everywhere. So,
well, like Stemmons was a football player there, and of course he made a fabulous fortune in Texas. And they named the Stemmons, what is it, Thruway or whatever it
mm-hmm.
is, after him. And
I'm going to go talk to him next month.
I ought to get a big donation from him because he's loaded.
Well, I'm just intrigued by him. There are lots of stories about him as a student, so I want to go and try to capture his version of them. I think it's really important to get people's own versions of their own stories. So, another thing that you were there for that I think might have been pretty exciting was the mock convention in 1924.
Oh, sure.
When did you take part in it?
No, I didn't take part in it, but I was there for it.
Uh-huh. And that was the year
John W. Davis.
You nominated one of your own.
Right, from Charleston, West Virginia. I think he was from Charleston, but I know he's from West Virginia.
Tell me about that. What do you remember about that?
Well, it was just terrific. I mean, here, I'm 18 years old. I wasn't even old enough to vote. But it was very, very exciting. And I've watched all through the years, that whenever they have them on television, I've watched the mock conventions. And if I remember, if I'm correct, they pick the winner practically every time.
Almost every time. But I just think that must have been particularly special in 1924.
Sure.
Did you all talk about that he was a Washington and Lee man? And
you know, I don't remember that part.
Yeah, it's a long time ago, but I just think that must have been so exciting. I went to the mock convention last year, and I just loved every minute of it. Yeah. I thought it was so exciting.
Well, it's real professional. I mean, it could be for real instead of a mock. That's how good it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Done very, very well.
Save a lot of money if they just let the students do it, wouldn't they? So, the president when you were there was Henry Louis Smith.
Yeah, Lefty Louis.
Tell me about him. I'm intrigued by him. I've been reading a lot about him.
Well, he was a wonderful speaker.
Was he?
Oh, yeah, he was terrific. And he was, there you are, see, all I could say is that he was great, he was wonderful, he was perfect.
Did you get to know him personally?
Not particularly, no. There was no reason to know him. I mean, I won't say there was no reason, but I don't even know whether he knew my name. In those days, I think the student body was about 300 or 400. It was, you know, very small.
Mm-hmm. I've heard people who graduated more recently talk about just how personal the relationship was with the faculty, because there were so few of you, and the ratio, the student to teacher ratio.
Oh, sure, it was like 10 or 12. Oh, yeah, it was great.
And sometimes they talk about going to dinner at their teachers' houses. Did that happen when you were there?
No, I don't recall ever having dinner with them.
I wondered if that might be a more modern thing.
Yeah.
I think that might be a more recent development. Yeah, I think it probably is. So one of the big changes that we've had at Washington and Lee in recent years.
Well, I mean, you go there, it's mind-boggling, all the buildings and everything. Of course, the law building that they built, you know, I remember when he gave the money, he gave them stock. He started Best Products. Best Products. I called up, who was the treasurer then?
Mr. Whitehead.
Jim. He gave 150,000 shares at $60 a share, $9 million. I called up Jim and I said, Jim, sell it. He said, I did, Mike. I said, take the money and run.
And Mr. Whitehead's a pretty shrewd fellow.
Yeah. Is he still alive?
He sure is,
and he's got all his China and all that stuff.
Well, he's retired, but he's still driving around in his Bentley.
Yeah.
And he's very involved in the planning for the 250th anniversary.
Oh, wonderful.
So he's making sure we do it right. He's one that whenever anybody starts to cut corners or do shortcuts, he says, no, 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 this is Washington and Lee. We've got to do it right.
Gosh, he and his, how about Washburn? Is he still alive?
He's still alive.
So those are probably the only two there that I really know anymore.
oh, there's still a lot of people around that you might remember. You know Frank Parsons? He was the assistant to the president for a long time.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, he's a real good friend of mine. Helps me out a whole lot in my work. Now, there are a lot of people that are still around. You know, people never leave Washington and Lee,
I don't blame them. I remember there was a fellow who was, he was with IAPS, Stuart Wurzburg. He came back, and when he retired from whatever he did, I don't know, and he just loved to live in Lexington. Is there many like that that have come to?
More and more. We're having a lot of people retiring there who are connected to the university.
I wouldn't mind going up there
and
retiring. I mean, not retiring. I'm already retired.
We'd love to have you. We'd make room for one more, that's for sure. Well, how frequently do you come to Lexington?
Well, I haven't been there for at least 10 years. I mean, the way time flies, you know. John Wilson was here. When did he retire?
A year and a half ago.
Oh, well, before, on one of his trips, he came down. Is he still in,
in Blacksburg.
Blacksburg.
He retired to Blacksburg.
Yeah, he has a son there, doesn't he?
Yes, he has grandchildren there.
I just thought he was a very fine guy.
Oh, he sure seemed to be.
I love those letters. He writes these letters.
He's very eloquent. He was one of the first people I interviewed. And
yeah.
He set a high standard. He's a very, very articulate person. Well, when you come back to Lexington, it's a real different place now. We have women on campus. What do you think about that?
I'm in favor of it, but my friend Bob Fulwalla, who was my mentor, and he was a trustee for a number of years. He passed away a few years ago. He said, I don't you vote for. He was one of those diehards, and I didn't want to argue with him, but I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, you can't stop the wind, you can't push back the ocean. And not only that, you need the money. And that's the thing, if you're going to be discriminating against women. I was in favor of it. I mean, I'm glad, I did not miss not having, when I was at Washington Lee, I thought it was great, just a bunch of fellas having, you know, going to school. But I can very well see how it is now. I never will forget my daughter Rosie graduated from, she went to Washington University.
In St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
So my wife and I, we picked her up in the car, you know, with all the paraphernalia they accumulate. And that year, Powell was made, had become Chief Justice. So they had a reception in Richmond to honoring him, you know. So I said to him, instead of coming straight to Miami, let's go to Richmond and go to this reception. So we went to the reception, and as she was shaking hands with Judge Powell, he said, where do you go to school? She says, I go to Washington University because they wouldn't let me in Washington Lee. So she said, at least I had half of it. I know. Well, he laughed. He thought I was cute.
That's wonderful.
My other daughter went to Denver. And that's a lovely school.
Uh-huh. Very pretty out there.
Have you been out there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, but you did have a son who went to Washington and Lee.
Yeah.
Now, did you encourage him to go?
Yeah, you want to know something? He really didn't want to go to Washington Lee, and he was one of these kids that just because his dad, you know, he was one of that type. And he would rather gone to Michigan. We went to Michigan. We went to Bowdoin. And he wanted to go where it was cold, you know. He wanted to go where it was snow and everything. So I insisted that he apply to Washington Lee. And so anyhow, just to sort of do me a favor, that was like his fourth choice, believe it or not. The year that he graduated Carl Gables High School, up until that year, it had had a very, very fine reputation. But somehow or other, it had slipped a little bit. And the the superintendent had told us that, oh, we send boys to Washington Lee all the time. And Michael was put on the waiting list. And his grades, he couldn't even get into. I remember Bowdoin was one of the places he wanted. That's up in Maine. So Fulwiler got on the phone, and he talked to him and gave him a sales talk, and talked to Jimmy Farrar, who was the dean of admissions, and Michael got in. So he went to Washington Lee. He didn't want to belong to ZBT fraternity. I won't say he's a snob, but he's just stupid. Of course, he's changed. He loves Washington Lee. He's very proud of it, you know, and so forth and so on. It's very funny. It's not funny. It's the truth. He almost busted out his first year. Second year, he did better. The third year, he made the dean's list. And he graduated on the honor roll. And, you know, they put their name, I don't know if they do it now, still do, but mm-hmm. had his name up there. So after he got his diploma and we were walking down, he says, you know, Dad, he said, if I'd have studied, he said, I could have made Phi Beta Kappa. I said, now you tell him.
Well, he did learn something. Yeah. He learned to apply
himself. He's just tickled to death that he went to Washington Lee, because he had a lot of friends. As a matter of fact, he lives in Puerto Rico now, but he also has a place here, and in San Juan.
Classical,
but anyhow, I forget
one.
where he was out in Arizona or someplace, Arizona or New, I think it was Arizona, that he went out, and he had just he was visiting there on business, and he saw one of his classmates that was there, and they just had a ball, he told me. And this has happened through the years. He's had some real good friendships that have developed from the classes.
Well, that's one thing that impresses me so much, is that Washington and Lee network seems to be so widespread, and how Washington and Lee people help each other out all through their
well,
lives.
Well, let me tell you, Michael has this nursery, the tropical plants and stuff like that, that it grows in San Juan, and he was recommended, he needed an attorney. So he met this attorney, and they were talking and so forth and so on. So they had lunch or whatever it was, and the attorney had his father-in-law happened to come along. I think his father-in-law was a doctor. And so he said, well, Michael, tell me about where'd you go to school? Now this is what Michael said. I went to a little school up in Virginia. You probably never heard of it, you know. He said Washington Lee, and this doctor, this Puerto Rican doctor, I'm a graduate of Washington Lee. I mean, this is.
They're everywhere. I've learned to say Washington and Lee very proudly.
Right.
In fact, I've learned more than to say Washington and Lee, to say W&L, because that's how you tell a real Washington and Lee person. You know, I just noticed on my list, there's one thing I wanted to find out if you know anything about, and I'm going to flip the tape over before I do.